Turn in your Bibles to Psalms chapter 30, verse 11 and 12. And the Amplified is what we're going to start off with. And it says, "You have turned my mourning into dancing for me. You have taken off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy. Woo-hoo! That my soul may sing praises to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever." Everyone say forever.
Forever.
This morning I'm going to talk about the God of the turnaround. And we've already seen some turnarounds take place. And I'm going to show you a few in the Bible that happened. And we're going to talk about some things that's happened here on how God takes one situation and completely turns it around and make it go another direction and makes it so much better. Amen? Well, that was a weak amen. Amen? All right. You know, I like a little bit of, you know, a little bit of rowdiness in church. I mean, we don't have to sit there all prim and proper. We can get a little excited in church, right? This is going to be a long morning. Lord. Father, help me. All right, here we go. Well, you ever feel like you've been going down a road and things just hasn't been going that great for you in life? And you try to turn around, try to change things up, and it just keep getting stuck, just not able to get, you know, turned around? Man, I know that feeling far too well, actually. It's not a really great feeling. It's when you feel like you're stuck going one way. Anyone can relate? Good, we got three people. Amen. I mean, when you're going down that road, it can get lonely sometimes. It can get dark. It can get very frustrating when you're dealing with stuff and you just don't seem how to change it or get off that path, you know? I remember a few years ago, I was in the bush hunting, and we got on this little bush trail. And it started off nice and wide, you know? But the further we went in on this bush trail, the closer and closer the trees got in, and kept getting closer and closer and closer to when we were pushing trees with the bumper. Don't tell Nathan King, but we stole his truck and we used it for that. But we were in there, man, and it was tough. Actually, Mark Casper, you remember that trip we went on? Yeah. I've been trying to forget it ever since. And, I mean, we ended up going down this road, and it was just, you know, on the map, there was a road there. In reality, there was nothing. I mean, it was less than nothing. So we got so far, and it's like we tried to get out of the truck, and we couldn't even open up the doors of the truck to get out because the trees were pushing on us so tight. So, I mean, we had a hard time getting out of there. But we managed, took our time, we backed out, you know, after much laughing, and we'll say laughing, and excitement, you know, we got back out of there. But it was a very uncomfortable position to be in, and frustrating when it says that, yeah, there's a road, this is supposed to be good, you're supposed to be able to get down here, and no road, no path, you know, it's all grown in. And I've had a few instances in my bush experiences, you know, going down paths like that and getting in less than ideal situations, and even in life with different things, you know, and to my own downfall, I guess, that, you know, sometimes we put ourselves on these paths, and we just kind of, instead of turning around, we keep going, we keep going, we keep going, and then it gets to a point to where it's really hard to change. But I'm thankful, like we talked about earlier already, we've seen kids that they've changed their path this weekend. And this is what I want to talk a little bit about, the God of the turnaround. You see, in our text here in Psalms chapter 30, verse 11 and 12, the first thing there says, "You have turned my mourning into joyful dancing." I mean, you don't always feel happy all the time, do you? You don't always feel joyful all the time. I mean, when your bank account is laughing at you, or when you're working on a project and it just doesn't seem to be going right, having issues in school, could be relationship stuff, the list goes on and on. I mean, there's so many things that could be causing us grief, and you just don't feel like rejoicing about it now, do you? I know on my own strength, there's a lot of times, nah. You know, the Bible talks about joy, and it's like, get that away from me. I'm going to be mad right now, you know? I want to be in that self-wallow, self-pity thing. But that's not right. Let's go back to our scripture verse there again. Yes, Mina? You have turned my mourning into joyful dancing. So who's turned this around for us? Who's changed these things? God, exactly. The fact that you're feeling sad and down and you don't feel like joyful dancing, you know, that's not a good enough excuse not to turn to Him. Because let me tell you something. He's already given you everything you already need. We're our own worst enemy. We keep ourselves tied down. We get ourselves in a mindset of like, you know what? No, man, I can't do this. No, I can't do that. I don't have the strength. I don't have the energy. I don't have this. I don't have that. You know, I'm not able to do this. But notice it's always I. But when you start saying, well, with God, I can do it. Through Him, I'm able to do it. He's already got me. And when we start putting the emphasis on the solution, which is the Father, and get it off the problem, which is us, it completely changes everything around. So then we start seeing the change starts taking place. See, if we stop looking at the problem all the time and we start looking to the solution, that's when the turnaround happens. Are you listening to me? So some of you in here, you might have that problem. Quit looking at the problem. Look to the solution. I'm preaching better than what you're amen, and I guarantee it. All right, so the psalmist here is talking about how the Lord is going to turn our ugly into something good. He's going to turn our sadness into joy. How many happy people do we have in here this morning? Wow. You got five. Turn over in your Bibles to Habakkuk. This is a book that you don't preach out of very often. Habakkuk. That's a funny name. Hey, Blake, next kid you have, you need to name him Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 7 to 18. Even though the fig trees have no blossoms, and there are no grapes on the vines, and even though the olive crops fails, and the fields lie empty and barren, and even though the flocks die in the fields, and the cattle barns are empty. Oh my Lord, this is horrible. Yet, here we go. Here's the key. This guy is having a rough time. But it says, yet, what? We'll say it together. I will rejoice in the Lord. Woo! Cows are dead. Woo! We're having a barbecue. Yeah! No. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. When things look very bleak, and that's a pretty bleak outlook there on things. When everything is failing, the poor guy is a horrible farmer. You know? Everything is just falling apart on him. Nothing's yielding crop. The animals are dying. Things are bad. But it says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. Because let me tell you something. God is still there. When you're going through a rough patch, He's still there. When things are falling apart around you, He's still there. You know, when the bank account is laughing at you, He's still there. When you're having issues with your job, He's still there. When you're having some relationship problems, He's still there. That's a good God. He's still there. The Bible says He'll never leave you nor forsake you. You ever felt lonely? No? No one's ever felt lonely? Yeah. Yeah. I'm feeling lonely right now. No one's answering me. It truly is lonely at the top, I guarantee it. And if this is the top, I don't want nothing to do with it. Oh, my Lord. Yeah. Being lonely is no fun. You're alone. You need people sometimes. Now, sometimes it's nice to be alone, right? Anybody like that? You like to be alone sometime? Yeah? Yeah? Kendra, put your hand down. She's not even in here, poor girl. But I know she's got it raised. No. What are y'all laughing at? Sometimes it's very lonely. Sometimes, you know, when you're alone and you're by yourself, your mind starts racing, you start thinking about things. It can be a dangerous spot too, you know, when you haven't got a renewed mind or you don't want to renew your mind or whatever it may be. This morning I had a few moments to myself. I left the house a bit early and I went for a drive. And I told Roy I was going to pick him up at a certain time. But really I went and hung up by the airport and watched airplanes and listened to worship music and you know, prayed for a bit and read some scriptures and stuff. And I sat there for about 45 minutes by myself in my truck with just that. And man, I'm going to tell you what, the Lord came and sat down in my pickup truck. I'm serious, you know. And it was just a fantastic morning, me and the Lord. And when I finally text Roy and said, hey, I'm here, which I was already there for like 45 minutes. But he come out and I was just blasting that song that he sang. And I'm like, man, God is so good. And I got to allow him to move in my life a little bit more. Because there's things in my life that I need him to turn around. There's things in my life that I need to fully hand over to him. You know? It doesn't matter how old you are, who you are, how long you've been a believer. There's things in our lives that we need God to take full control of. Whether it be business, whether it be a relationship, whether it be your finances, you know, your attitude, whatever it may be. We need to let God run through it. We need to let God do what he needs to do through that. So now, here's a question for y'all. How does things turn around? Well, you know, the first one is very simple. It's you got to know the Lord. If you want to change in your life, you got to know who he is. And we serve a good God, man. Now, it's one thing just to be, oh yeah, God is so good, but how is he good? We need to know why he's good. We got to know what or how he's good to us, what he's done for us. You know? But we can start off right there at John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave, right? He gave his only begotten son that whosoever believed in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. He made a way of salvation for us because he loved us so much. He made the ultimate sacrifice and sent his one and only son to die on the cross for me and you. Did we deserve that? He thought we did. He loved me and you so much. So once we get to know him, we also got to get into the word and see. We got to come to church and listen to the word. We got to study. We got to be around people that are like-minded. We got to get in there and build ourselves up on good things. You know, like what Vanessa was talking about, it's like, what's in your feed? You know, are you constantly strolling through TikTok and watching little, you know, cats dance or whatever going on there? You know? What are you watching? What are you putting in? Because what you're putting in is what's going to come out of you. Uh-oh. Some of y'all better be careful. You know? But we got to put in the good things. We got to put in the right things. We got to know the Lord. All right, let's keep going. Is this good? You getting anything out of this or not really? You know the Lord. Seems pretty basic, but it's legit where you start, right? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, New Living Translation. It says, rather, you must grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All glory to him, both now and forever. Amen. See, it's not a maybe you should, or, you know, you should consider it. It says here in Scripture, you must grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We need to do that. As believers, we have a responsibility to know who our God is. Now, you're not listening to me this morning. We have a responsibility to know who our God is. We got to know who he is to you, right? And, you know, it's good to know about Jesus, but we got to just know more than just know him. We have to, you know, or just, you know, kind of know a little bit about him. We have to really get to know him. You know, We got to change the way we think, change the way we talk, change out our own reasoning on certain subjects. If we want to see a turnaround, we need to get to know God. We need to know that He is the only one who can. We sing that other song, Graves in the Gardens. And it talked about all the changes. He took our mourning to what? Dancing. Right? He made graves into... He takes things that are meant to be not so great and turns it into something amazing. He changes things around. That's who our God is. So He can take you with all your faults and your failures and turn you into something amazing. And let me tell you something. He's already made you great. Like I told the kids, He's already given you everything that you need to be a success in life and to be absolutely awesome. You just have to ignite it in your life. You have to light it up. You have to make it move. You have to do something. I brought an old oil lamp in here, and the kids looked at it, and a lot of them were like, what in the world is that? You know? And so then I was telling them the stories about living on, you know, a little house on the prairie with, you know, Vanessa growing up with no we were just teasing everyone. No electricity, no. And that's what we use for light source, no. But we did, I do remember being a little boy when the power would go out, and my grandfather and even dad, they had a collection of these big lamps, oil lamps. I'm not sure if any else still got any of them. And if the lights would go out, they'd go and light these things up, and they were pretty bright. So I love lamps. I got an oil lamp. I got a bunch of lanterns and stuff in the house. But anyway, I had one in my office, so I brought it in. And I said, guys, I said, look at this lamp. I said, it's got everything it needs right there. It's got a wick. It's got oil. You know, it's got the bowl over it. It's got everything right there. But why is it not lighted? Why is it not glowing? Why is there no light radiating from it? Oh, there's no fire. It's not lit. Okay. So, like, what do I got to do? You know? You got to light it. Okay. And then I'm like, well, what do I do? See, I had to put the work in now to take the cover off, to take a lighter and light that wick and put it back on so it will do something. The whole lamp is right there. Everything is right there to make light, but I have to activate it. Are you listening to me? We have everything we need. We just have to activate it in our lives. That's when the God of the turnaround kicks in, when we allow Him to do stuff. Hallelujah. We have to know our God. All right. How do you know Him? Who is He to you? The Old Testament has many names for Him. He was known. God had many different names. We'll just look at some of these real quick. El Shaddai, Lord God Almighty. He was known as that. El Elyon, the Most High God. He was known there. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner. Jehovah Ra, the Lord my shepherd. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. Jehovah Tiskenu, the Lord our righteousness. Elohim, the everlasting God. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. And Jehovah Shabbath, the Lord of hosts. You see, all those names of God are actually attributes of who He is. We have to know who He is because it's His character. His names, that's who He is. And so, who is He to you? Is He your peace? Is He your healer? Is He your shepherd? Come on, He needs to be real to me and you. It is very important that we know and have a true relationship with the Lord, because that's when things start shaking up. The second part of this, the second thing we need to do to get things turning around in our lives, one was know the Lord. The second one is that we have to have a response to knowing Him. Once again, people think that, okay, look, I'm born again. Now God just do everything in my life. That's not the way it works. It's a two-way street. He's made a way for you, but you have to do it. You just don't sit back on the couch and do nothing. If you want a paycheck, well, you got to do what? Sometimes. Yes, you got to work. You got to do that. You got to put in the effort. Brother Roy was telling me a story this weekend. He's got a couple nephews. And they went to him. They said, Uncle Roy, I need 25 bucks to buy a new toy. And the other one came to him and said, I need 20 bucks. It's only 20 bucks for me. And Roy was like, whoa, 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 settle down. What are y'all buying? He goes, listen, okay, I'll make a deal with you. You got to come and you got to wash my truck. So here's Uncle Roy out there, and he's got his little nephews out there with him, and they're washing his truck. And they're like, okay, Uncle Roy, are we done now? He's like, no. We got to go wash your mom's car too. So they started going, went over, and they washed up mama's car, right? And then one went to him and said, okay, are we done now? Oh, no, not yet, boy. You see Papa's trailers over there? They all need to be washed too. No! We're going to be here all day. Now, Roy's a little bit more compassionate than what I am. He said, okay, okay. And he went and he gave him the money. You know, dude, I would have worked those kids to the bone. I would have got the lawn mowed, the windows washed, the dishes done, the laundry done. I mean, you just ask Ben. Things go, no, I'm just joking. Not really. But, I mean, you think about it. But they put in the work, and Brother Roy, they got their reward, right? Yeah, they did. Why? Because first off, they did the work, but Roy was true to his word. Oh, wait a minute. It's the same thing with Scripture. If we put in the work, see, the Bible says all God's promises are yes and amen. So that means if we start activating them and start using them, that means I'm healed. That means I'm blessed. Why? Because God said so. He's true to his word. So that situation I'm facing has got no choice. It's got to turn around because God is true to his word. Amen. Because we know who God is, then we are responsible to respond to that relationship. We need to take a look at, let's take a look at a few scriptures here to help us out to see this a little bit clearer. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. New Living, and it says, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Jesus did something for us here. He died on the cross. He died so that we could have eternal life. And also through his death, we were made righteous. He put us in the place of right standing with God. This is the place where me and you were supposed to be as believers. Now, we are supposed to have a response to being the righteousness of God in Christ. If any of you have sat in my righteousness class, you know what this response is. Or if you all fall asleep. What's your response to righteousness? It starts with an H. Bible school graduates. Righteousness, oh my Lord. Y'all are getting your diplomas revoked today. You failed. Holiness! Oh, my Lord. Why me, Lord? One more valley, one more hill. One more trial, one more tear. Oh, Lord. I could have been an airplane pilot. Oh, my gosh. All right, anyway. Holiness. Holiness is a response to the righteousness that you became. So, what does that look like? That means we all got to go around like a bunch of monks, dressed in robes and all those things. Some of y'all might look kind of cute with a little bald spot on top of your head. Some of y'all got the bald spot already. You just need a robe. No. See, sometimes we get holiness really mixed up with religious thinking. In a sense, holiness is a life worthy of your calling. Holiness is a life that is separated and segregated from the world. Whereas if you're different, you live in the world, but you're different. Sometimes it's hard to pick out a believer from a non-believer. Oh, wait a minute, what? Let's talk about that for a minute. We need to make sure that as believers, we are different and set apart. Because ultimately, that's who we are. Scripture tells us we're not of this world. You know? One translation says, you're an alien. That explains a lot, actually. But it says, you're not of this world. You see, we just live here right now on earth, but I mean, our real home is in heaven. Do you hear me? I mean, that's where we're supposed to be. That's who we are. Once we've accepted Jesus, you know, we are now, we have citizenship in heaven. And so therefore, because of that, I mean, our life needs to be a little bit different. I mean, the way we used to talk probably needs a change. The way we used to act probably needs a change. The things that we used to do and the places we used to go, you know, all those things need to change. Why? Not because we got to, but because we get to. Because we get a response to what Jesus did for me and you. He loved you so much, he gave it all. The least we can do is reciprocate that love. And live a life as a living sacrifice, the Bible says. Holy and acceptable unto God. And that's something that's a big deal. Because let's face it, this world is messed up. This world has got a lot of issues. You turn on the news, you turn on the radio, you turn on whatever, and you just see things falling apart. You see corruption in different levels of government. You don't know what's true and what's false anymore, what's being reported. You know, there's just so many things, and there's this issue, and this war, and this battle, and, you know, this scheme, and this, you know, crime took place. And, I mean, people are saying all these things all the time. It's like, oh, wow. But let me tell you something. As believers, we serve the God of the turnaround. And so therefore, as believers, we have a secret weapon that we get to use, and his name is Jesus Christ. And so if we use what he's given to us, things has to change in your life. And if it starts changing in your life, you're going to start influencing those people around you. And as those people around you start getting influenced, their world is going to start changing. And it keeps growing and growing and growing. Like Blake had said, it's like a fire, and fire spreads. You know? So we need to get that fire ignited inside of us to let it sweep all across this nation. Amen. But we need to let it start in us first. Amen. This church is far too empty. All the churches in Thunder Bay are far too empty. When you got people out on the streets that are dying and going to hell. We'll talk about it. Preach, Steve, preach. All right, I will. I'll do it. Go ahead. Listen, we got to invest some time in some people. But we also got to get to know who Jesus is ourselves. It's important. It's crucial. It was awesome to watch the progression this weekend. We started off with a few kids. Everyone's nervous, not sure what to do. A couple kids got going. And as time progressed, every service, me and Roy look at each other like, there's new kids here. There's different kids here. Like, who are these kids? Where are they coming from? You know? And, you know, they're bringing their friends, and their friends are showing up. You know? Little Nia back there, she's a real evangelist, man. They're missionary. She's just bringing her friends left, right, and center. They're all coming in. You know? That's awesome. And now I even look at Blake, and, you know, Blake got his two brothers here and coming to church now and getting involved. I'm like, that's a miracle. That's awesome. Seeing these things, this growth happen. You know, church is going to grow. Church got to grow. But you see, when there's excitement, when there's a fire, when there's a purpose, when people are hungry, when someone cares. You know, we talked about this for years, revival. Oh, we're going to see revival. We want revival. You know? Revival is just one of those things that is just right there. We just got to get the match and light it. We just got to have enough people that are hungry enough to see a move of God that they want it. Let me tell you something. We say a move of God, it's more us moving towards God. Because God is always right there. God don't move. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to run away. God's not hiding somewhere. God's here. You know? But it starts with us. It starts, we have the responsibility to do that. Are you getting this morning? We need to have a response to knowing who he is. And the second part, and we already alluded to it a little bit earlier, to this thing of response to knowing him. Well, we talked about what he did for us and that we're supposed to have a response to that. The second part of this is that we're supposed to be a living sacrifice. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. And it says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him." See, we need to find ourselves, or God needs to find us, as a living sacrifice. That means you're going to have to give up some things that you used to like to do. Is church a priority? Is your relationship with God a priority? Or does everything else come first? I mean, we live in a town where people like to travel. They like to go to camp. I got a camp. Kids play sports right here. You know? All those things. And I think it's very important that families do things together. Don't get me wrong, because I'm very big on family. I got four kids. I'm very big. I'm an advocate for families. And I'm an advocate for families staying together and for doing things, working together, enjoying life. But I do have an issue when families that, you know, neglect God, and it seems like everything else is put before God. That's a dangerous place to get in. My kids play hockey. My kids play sports, you know. But we make sure that the priority in our life, you know, is that they have that relationship with God. We come to church. They go to the youth events. Now, every once in a while, they might have to miss something, and that's understandable. But when it becomes a continual thing, but even my kid will tell me, "Oh, Dad, you know what? We got this tournament or we got this coming up, but you know what? I can't miss church. I don't want to miss church. You know, I got this practice." Or maybe, "Hey, can you call the coach and see if we can change it so we don't miss church?" I'm like, "Buddy, that's pretty big of you to do that, to say you want to change things around. You know, that's pretty cool. That's impressive." And I understand sometimes things can't change, and I get that. I understand that. But when it just becomes God second place, everything else first place, that's where you're going to run into issues. It's getting quiet in here. I'm just telling you because, hey, listen, I'm in the same boat with you. I have four kids. They're involved in whatever you can think of. And it gets busy sometimes. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody can relate? Yeah, it gets busy sometimes. But you got to keep the important thing the most important thing. Because to me, you know, our relationship with the Father is more important, far more important than anything else. Because I need God in my life. Because I need God to be able to sustain us. I need God to keep us. I need God to guide us. That's who he is to me. Yeah, he's my shepherd. He looks after me. He's also my provider. He's also my peace. That's who he is. He's also my joy. Because let me tell you something. With four kids, sometimes you need a little extra joy. Hey, you know what I'm talking about. You new parents in here with bigger families. Even with one kid, yeah, yeah. Two hands, Brother Nate. Two hands, you know. Sometimes you need a little extra joy sometimes. I don't know. It just seems like the world's getting crazier, and so are the kids. I don't know. Now, as we live our life as a living sacrifice to him, you know, a sacrifice is actually you're giving up something that you like. Something, you know, Pastor Roma talked about a few weeks ago, talked about fasting. Remember that? I was so hungry after that message, man. That was a rough one, man. That was rough. I fasted for a whole 45 minutes right there, man. I was just like, Jesus. How do people do this? You know? It's like, oh, Lord. You know? I remember as a kid, there used to be something for World Vision. I don't know if y'all remember it or not. It used to be called the 30-hour famine. Anybody remember that? And you'd starve yourself for 30 hours? I'm like, what is starving me for 30 hours helping out people that are starving on the other side of the world? What's that doing? I'll give them money. Let's go take them out somewhere. You know, I'll give money. Why do I have to starve? You know? Oh, but, you know, it's the idea behind it. I'm not built to be starving. What are y'all laughing at? Some of y'all should be laughing. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You're not built for starving either. You know? But those sacrifices, and I remember we used to do that. And the way that I would get through the 30 hours, what I would sleep. I tricked the system. I beat it. And then when I woke up, I was like an old grizzly bear. Feed me. You know? Nothing was safe. You see, you know, someone was eating, they left that crumbs on their face. Hey, come here. Oh, it was horrible. I don't wish that on anybody. 30-hour famine. Oh, it's only 30 hours, Steve. Smarten up. You know, a living sacrifice. Don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you'll learn and know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. I don't know about you, but I want to live that perfect plan that God has for me. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. It's so easy to fall into that trap. I'm sure we've all, you know, once in a while we've slipped up and we've done that. You know, haven't lived the greatest testimony. But let God transform you into a new person. Everyone say new person.
New person.
That's what we need to do. Let God transform you into a new person. How many new people we got in here? You're not the same as you used to be. Come on. Before you accepted Jesus, you were one thing. But now you're born again, you're something else, right? So how many new creatures in Christ do we have in here? How many righteous people we got in here? How many people that God completely turned around your life? Come on. I know there's some of the awesome testimonies in here. One of these days, we're going to do testimony service. I want to hear some more stories about people. You know, I love hearing testimonies. I love hearing how God has transformed people. How he's taken bleak situations and turned them around. Yeah, amen? Yeah, I mean, there's people in here and you should be dead. Some of you have probably died and you've come back. You know? It's just miraculous to think about the goodness of God in our lives. And what's represented right here. It's too good to not believe. Brother Roy, you want to make your way back up here? It's too good to not believe. Come on now. He'll change you. He'll turn you around. He'll do some cool things in your life. You just got to let him. Allow him. Because he's giving you everything you need, and you got to light it up. You got to light it up. Amen? Man, our God is so good. Our God is so good. I want to look at this real quick while we're closing up. This is my second conclusion. You want to see some big turnarounds that took place in the Bible? Moses in the Red Sea. In Exodus chapter 14, Pharaoh's army was coming after Moses and the Hebrew children, and the Red Sea was in front of them. And then crazy old Pharaoh, he was coming after him. He had second thoughts about letting the Hebrew children go. Let me tell you something. All those Hebrew children, they started to cry. Moses, you brought us out here in the wilderness to die? And Moses walked through. And he went and he put his rod in that water and it split open. God split that open. God made a way to where there was no way. He turned around that situation and all those Hebrew children, they walked across on dry land. And as soon as the last one got across, that water came back in and completely obliterated that Egyptian army. See, that's my God right there. Your enemies cannot stand against. Here's something else. In Joshua chapter 6, he helped Joshua take the promised land and tear down the walls that were keeping them out from what God had promised them. God's made promises in your life. You trust in him, he'll tear down those walls. He'll help you tear down those walls to keep you from those promises. The walls of Jericho had to come down. All those cities that were in there in the promised land, all those other people that weren't supposed to be there, all those situations, those issues, they had to go. God made a way. He turned it around. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, I talked about this yesterday with the kids. He turned a shepherd boy, David, into a giant slayer. Eventually, he became king. And even in his failures and his faults, you know, David makes me feel good about myself. Because he's messed up lots. You read his story in Scripture. He had a man killed, slept with the guy's wife, got her pregnant, and still went through turmoil. But still, at the end of all that, God still said David was a man after his own heart. Because he was faithful to God. He changed. Even though he made failure and he screwed up, he knew that he had to run back to the Father. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll ask you to stand up. I want one more passage of Scripture I want to share with you. This is my third ending. In 2 Kings chapter 13, verses 20 to 21, it says, then Elisha died and was buried. Groups of Moabite raiders used to invade the land each spring. Once when some Israelites were burying a man, they spied a band of these raiders. So they hastily threw the corpse into the tomb of Elisha and fled. But as soon as the body touched Elisha's bones, the dead man revived and jumped to his feet. When you allow the power of God to flow through you and do things, it will take that dead corpse, the dead bones, and it'll turn it to life. Some of y'all need to allow God to bring you back to life, to turn that situation around, to turn those things around. I don't care if you're having issues with school, with friends, at work, at whatever. God can turn that situation around. He turned around that situation for that guy that was dead, because he was dead. And then he got thrown on the bones of Elisha, and guess what? He ain't dead no more. Freaked everybody right out, I'm sure. You know? Can you imagine? You go into the graveyard and all of a sudden people start hopping up because you're, you know, so full of the Holy Ghost. Woo! Crazy. We serve a big God. So this morning, let's think about these things, these scripture verses that we talked about. It's too good to not believe.